SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Running on tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159, Lisi in the cockpit for the next couple of hours. A lot to get to tonight. Major League Baseball, Olympics. We got 19 days for the start of the college football season, training camp in the NFL. Nothing better than Carver and Lisi. Mike Carver out tonight. He's dealing with a death in his family. Our thoughts and prayers are out to the Carver family right now. Partner, we miss you. We love you. Our condolences are out. Our thoughts and prayers are with you tonight as well. Mike will be back tomorrow night. If you want to join in on the conversation tonight, please give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. Me and Hit Burbell behind the scenes will take you around. We're going to dive right into it. A limited action in slate in regards to Major League Baseball. I'll give you the updated scores right now. Cleveland, top six leads the Arizona Diamondbacks 3-2. Diamondbacks with a runner on first with one out. You have Cleveland minus 280 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Arizona plus 210. In-game total is 8.5. Juice to the under at minus 125. Cincinnati all over the Miami Marlins. 7-0 right now. That in-game money line is locked. In-game total, though, is 10.5. Juice to the over at minus 118. I actually altered that in game 12.5. So top five, Cincinnati all over the Marlins right now. Hopefully we can get maybe six more runs before we get out of Dodge in regards to that ball game. Another total that I actually took in game, San Francisco 4-0 over the Washington Nationals right now. In game, Giants minus 2,500 on the money line. In game total 7.5, juiced heavily to the under at minus 154. Nationals have seemed to fall off a cliff for the most part. They were playing some overs, rough games over the weekend, and hopefully now I need 10.5 in this game. So hopefully we can get over that number. Top six, runner on first. Maybe the Giants can break out in a big way. They're about to start in Texas, the in-state rivalry, Astros and Rangers. I took that over. Hey, why not? Rangers and Astros, let's get after it. 8.5 total, minus 110. You have minus 110 for the Rangers, minus 106 for the Astros. Brown on the mound for the Astros, and Heaney on the mound for the Rangers. So I did all that as well. I took it over the 8.5. Also jumped it up to 10.5 as well. Twins and Cubs, all the Twins do is play overs. All the Cubs do is play unders for the most part. So something has to give tonight in Wrigley. You have the Cubs minus 102, Twins minus 125, low total. It's appealing to me because the Twins always play overs that I should just jump on it, but I'm not going to be sucked in. 7.5 is the in-game total. First pitch now, minus 115. We'll keep you updated on that. Another team that all they do is play overs, Boston. Plus 110 on the road in Kansas City. You have Singer on the mound for the Royals. Padone on the mound for, I can't even see, is that Padone? Whatever. I'll get you updated on that for the Red Sox. But plus 110, under and over is 10. Now, this total might, after an inning or two, get to like 8.5, 8, maybe 7.5. That might be an area to jump in. Like I said, Boston, all they do is play overs. But at 10 right now, I'm not willing to jump in with both feet. This is a total I did jump in. The two late games, Chicago and Oakland, that's a 9:41 start. 8.5 is the total. Juice that up to 10.5. White Sox plus 180 on the money line. I believe they have lost 20 straight. You got the A's at home on the mound with Sears minus 215. So Bush on the mound for Chicago plus 180. You want to take a shot that Chicago breaks the 20-game win streak, a losing streak. I can't do that, but I could get over the 8.5 and maybe 10.5 in regards to that. The late game as well, Phillies and Dodgers. I just feel like every time the Phillies and Dodgers get together, whether it be in Philly or on the road in L.A., they seem to get these totals. I remember last year when they were on the West Coast, especially early on, and I understand it's a different team, but they blew through those totals. Every game was 9, 10. Now you have a 7.5. We saw the Phillies play Seattle in regards to that series. The first game blew right through that total. I believe two of the three went over. Yesterday was 1-0. I shut it off after like 6. That was a dead under Sunday afternoon. But 7.5, you have the Dodgers that hit the Phillies potentially very well. So Nola's on the mound. We know that he's a good pitcher, and 7.5 is warranted in regards to the total. But I'm jumping in, altered that up to 9.5 at plus money. I'll give you the total, and 9.5 at plus 190. So that is the one total I like. I like the over White Sox. 10.5 was the total I took it up to at plus 186. And Philadelphia and the Dodgers over the 9.5 at plus 190. No dingers. That'll be tomorrow night when Carver's back. Dinger Tuesday. He'll get you up to date on that. The Mets did close out St. Louis, another gutless team. St. Louis and Chicago, inconsistent offenses. One day up, one day they score nothing. One day Goldschmidt is hitting 3 hits per game, and then they play the Mets, and they get shut out at home 6-0. The Mets close it out. So we'll see how the Mets play the rest of the week against the St. Louis Cardinals. Football news, I'm going to jump into a lot of the odds for Thursday night's game because I'm not going to be here the rest of the week. Some potential totals, some futures that I'm looking at. Also had a big discussion online in regards to X. Got into it in regards to top 5 coaches. I believe all the Detroit fans, not just the Detroit Lion fans, but I got the Michigan fans tweeting me about a tweet I put out like 6 years ago back in 2019 when they were 2-16 against, you know, top 25 competition or whatever. They're still, hey, we finally won a national championship. Yeah, it took you 6 years to do it with Jim Harbaugh. And now you got the Connor Stallions mess and Sherrone Moore. Let's see how this whole situation plays out. Michigan does have a big game week number 2 against Texas. A lot of people all of a sudden have penciled that in as a huge double-digit win for the Longhorns because of Quinn Ewers and Sark. I'll tell you this right now, I'm not so sure. Maybe I'll win some Michigan fans back. I believe Michigan does match up pretty well against that front 7 for the Texas Longhorns. Think Donovan Edwards potentially could have a breakout season and, more importantly, a breakout game to potentially strike the upset as a 3.5-point dog. Oh, yeah, can you taste it? Mwah! Nah, nah, college football, baby. 19 days away. Yes, 19 days away. After this Friday, there will only be actually 2 college football Fridays. That's it. Carver and I will be on. This Friday we'll be on. I'll be out. But 2 Fridays, we kick it off the 24th. Then the season is underway, week 0, and then we jump right into that week 1 slate, which is amazing in terms of Labor Day weekend. You could talk about those games, Georgia and Clemson, LSU and USC. I mean, there is nothing better than college football. We could also talk about potential sleepers in the AFC and NFC. So please, you have a bet, you want to talk baseball, you want to talk Olympics? How about Noah Lyles, huh? Tearing it up. What an amazing, unbelievable track meet that was to get the gold by a hair. He got it by a hair. We're coming back. More Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah! I tell you what, Money ain't coming for free anymore. Bitcoin down, stock market down. No overs in terms of the alts. Hopefully we can get it now. Right now, quick update because I'm on this total. San Fran and the Nationals. Nationals break through with a run. You got runners on first and third, bottom six, one out. In-game total is 8.5. We got it minus 114 either way. Come on, baby. Break through. Give me a Granny Smith three-run shot and tie this bad boy up at 4 apiece and we'll be on our way potentially to that over 10.5. I left off in terms of last break talking about the amazing victory by Noah Lyles in regards to the Olympics. I did not watch the race live, but I did watch the highlights. I watched it over and over and over again. Unbelievable photo finish with about three or four racers right there. The leader looked like on just from the eye that Team Jamaica won. And then all of a sudden with the photo finish, now I was wrong because I did see the foot crossed by one of the runners, and I thought that counted. It's not. It's actually the torso, and that's why Noah Lyles did win it in dramatic fashion. But overall, in regards to the Olympics that I did watch, watched the game against Puerto Rico and the United States, walked through the motions, a dominant win over Team Puerto Rico. I saw a bunch of players break out. I saw Anthony Edwards over the weekend with a 30-plus performance. But, Matias, I do have to bring up, the men's swimming for the U.S. has been a complete disappointment. I did see in the 4x100 men's medley relay that Team China ended a 64-year unbeaten run by the U.S. team. And there was a point over the weekend where, right before the weekend, I think on Friday's show, where the U.S. was in danger of not even meddling in regards to the Olympics as a whole. And then we saw Sha'Carri Richardson not win her 100-meter race. She lost in dramatic fashion. Overall, this hasn't been a great Olympics for Team USA in terms of the men's and women's up until this point.
Yeah, Joe, you know, I know the race you're talking about. It's been up and down, but you know what? I kind of like the parity, Joe. You know, I like that everybody else is doing good as well. It doesn't bother me. I think that the U.S. has won in a lot of Olympic games. They're still winning today. They're not winning every single race. They're not winning in every single competition. But, man, I love competition. I love that everything is more close up. It's more parity around. But talking about the track, that was crazy, Joe. And I don't watch too much track and field. I really don't. I try to watch it when I can, but I'll always choose other things over it if they're on, like soccer, like tennis. You know, but at the same time, I did not miss the race that you're talking about. And, man, was it exciting. I was a little confused because I didn't know the rules either. I thought that the Jamaican won, and I said, "How in the hell did the American win?" And man, once I saw the rules and when I rewatched the race over again, it's unbelievable, and it's crazy that it came that close. What an unbelievable photo that they were able to get at the finish line. You know what I mean? That's legendary stuff that's gonna live past us. But the photo's insane, man, and I felt really bad for the Jamaican. How bad? As happy as I was for the American winning, how tough was it for the Jamaican to lose that race, you know, because I think that he thought that he won, you know, and then to find out that he lost, it's devastating.
It is, and if you listen to the broadcast, the broadcasters actually mentioned that Team Jamaica won the gold. It wasn't until they went to the photo finish that everybody seemed to be shocked in regards to just the naked eye when you watch the race play out. It looks like Noah Lyles has no shot to potentially win, and at the end, it's not until they freeze it that you see his torso barely get over. I don't even know if Team Jamaica, like, let up. I don't know the runner's name, but it looked like he let up a little bit at the end. I don't know where he didn't. He thought he had it like hands down and he didn't have to lean in because he was basically 90 degrees up straight. He didn't even lean thinking that it was a photo finish. So credit to Lyles in regards to that. I will say, yes, I like parity as well, but when you have dominant runners and you have Sha'Carri Richardson that set a world record in regards to the prelims and was a -180 favorite to win the 100 meters. I mean, that is a disappointing performance, especially knowing that she wasn't in regards to the last Olympics, we've seen some performances where Team USA was supposed to dominate, right? Especially in terms of the men's swimming, and they're struggling on all levels, right? So, yeah, you want to see other teams step up, but in regards to our best athletes, I think it is a little bit disappointing in regards to when you see it play out as a whole. Even Katie Ledecky has struggled in regards to her performances before she kicked it into the gear over the last two.
Like I said, Joe, I like the parity, man. I do. And the world is caught up. You know, how fast was Usain Bolt when he was running? You know, nobody could catch Usain Bolt. And now, you know, America's doing pretty good like we did in this recent race. But, yeah, the swimming has been up and down, hasn't it? But, hey, come on, man. It's all good. As long as it's a good competition, I'm sure that now, going into the next Olympics, the U.S. swimmers will have a bigger goal. They'll train harder. They'll understand that, hey, you know what? We can't do what we've been doing and expect the same results. Things have to change. And these are the types of things that influence change, right, Joe? You know what I mean? You can't always have it your way. So I this will only create new goals. And when we win again, we will conquer the goals again. You know what I mean? And more kids will have dreams of becoming swimmers. And that's how, man, that's just the cycle of sports, right? You know, you have to have a goal, and somebody has to be better than you in order for you to, like, climb up the ladder and say and reach that goal and feel great about yourself. But that's life, right? So let's see what happens in the next Olympics 4 years later when it's here in Los Angeles.
We will see. Now, did you watch the performance by Team USA against Puerto Rico? I mean, again, this team is basically walking through the motions. The first half, they were down, I believe, by 6 or 7 points, and then all of a sudden they turned it on. Any concern for Team USA as they enter next week? We'll come back. We'll talk about Team USA, and we'll talk some NFL futures. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking a little Olympics. Talking about that performance over the weekend, we'll see if LeBron and the crew, Durant, can get it going this week. I asked Matias before, I don't know, we were in commercial break last segment, but I watched the game, Matias. Again, they haven't been really challenged. I saw them struggle a little bit in regards to the first couple of quarters. They turned it on in regards to the second half, blew them out, 20-plus win. The only thing that could hold this team back is if they don't start fast and have any type of momentum where they just feel they could turn it on and turn it off at any given moment. And they're the best players in the world, so I understand that. But there can be a situation where you can get into that Mike Tyson type of situation with Buster Douglas, where if you take a team for granted, they can knock you out. And that would be the only concern for me, is that I've watched them start slow in sort of back-to-back performances.
But hey, Joe, do you think they're still going to get the gold medal, Joe? What do you think?
Probably. I mean, you know, again, are they going to cover every step of the way? You tell me. That is a bigger question.
That's a thing, though. You know,
they were minus 470. Minus 600 now.
But at the same time, it's hard to tell when you're going to cover or not right now in the Olympics. You know, you don't know who it's going to be. When the team is that deep, you know, it could be somebody else every single night, but that's what makes this team so dangerous, Joe. You know what I mean? Think of it like in college basketball. When, you know, usually the best college basketball team, when it comes to winning March Madness, you know, you got five guys who could do it. It's not going to be that guy every single night. And that's what, like, in the championship game, the guy who only averaged 6 points throughout the whole tournament, you know, he might be the guy that steps up and drops 25. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is. And that's what it feels like with this Team USA. You know, anybody on any given night, you know, one night it's Bam Adebayo. You know, one night it's LeBron James. Maybe this game it's a Steph Curry game who drops 40 points. You know what I mean? And the other game he only had 3 points, 1 for 9. It's crazy right now. But, you know, as long as they win the gold, it is what it is. Betting the team right now is hard to do. But I think that's what it goes in every level, Joe. And even talking about the women's basketball team, like, they're covering. But then again, like, Germany played the USA women's basketball team damn tough the other night. You know, they were up 26. They're down 19. They're down 9. They're back up by 20. It's a weird stretch right now, Joe. But I got to say, they're going to win the gold medal. You know, it'd be devastating if they don't.
Yeah, it would be. I tell you what, it would be a dramatic – fail by Team USA if they don't win the men's gold in regards to basketball. We'll get you updated throughout the week. Quick updates in regards to the baseball. 5-4 now, Cleveland over Arizona. That game all of a sudden now has turned to an over. It was 3-2 a couple of innings ago. All of a sudden now, Cleveland and Arizona with 9 runs on the board. Guardians with a runner on and one out. Miami did score a run. They now have a runner on first with 2 outs. 8 total runs. Cincinnati with the 7-1 lead. Nationals trail the Giants heading into the bottom of the 7th. 4-1. No score figures. Houston and Texas. Right now, Houston with a runner on first and 1 out. Top 2, Boston and KC, no score. And then the 2 late games. I'm really banking on both Houston and Texas to get over 10.5 and 11.5 somehow, some way. And then the White Sox and Phillies to get me and take me to the promised land over 10.5 with the White Sox, over 9.5 with the Phillies. So we'll see how that plays out over the next 20 or 30 minutes. Any updates in the scoring or any potential scoring, I'll keep you updated along the way. But I will jump into some NFL. I was on X today, and I saw a tweet by Robert Griffin in regards to, you know, top coaches in the NFL, and he put Dan Campbell in the top 5, and he didn't put Sean McVay or Matt LaFleur in there in regards to his top 5. So I tweeted, and I said, you know, I would have McVay, and I would have LaFleur ahead of Campbell. And that's not a knock on Dan Campbell. Has done a fantastic job in regards to turning around the Detroit Lions. Great motivator. You could say great locker room guy. But in terms of in-game schematics and in-game adjustments, you can make the argument that the LaFleur and McVay are better. We'll have that conversation coming right back on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Back on Carver and Lisi. Talking some NFL. Nothing better than that. We got training camp open. This is it, baby. We got football this week. On Thursday night, New England Patriots take the field. New York Giants take the field. We'll get you updated on those potentially in terms of the second hour. But I do want to talk about the conversation that I had on X today in regards to top 5 coaches. And Robert Griffin from ESPN, former Washington quarterback, also Baylor, covers college football, put out his 5 coaches. He had obviously Shanahan in there, Andy Reid, but he did have Dan Campbell in there. And again, you know, I'm a big backer of Dan Campbell. Love biting the elbows, you know, knocking out kneecaps and everything else. But his in-game schematics and in-game adjustments sometimes could be desired, especially when you think about 2 games, in particular against Dallas, where he continued to go for 2 points and cost his team a road win over the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. And obviously the second half adjustments against Kyle Shanahan on the road in the NFC Championship with failing to close that game out and losing and really costing his team potentially at a Super Bowl appearance. But that being said, I brought up LaFleur. I brought up McVay. So we'll do McVay quickly. McVay's been to 2 Super Bowls. He won it, obviously, with Matt Stafford a couple of years ago, knocking off Joe Burrow in Cincinnati 27-23. He did it and brought Jared Goff to a Super Bowl where he lost to the New England Patriots 13-3. He's a great offensive mind. You talk about the talent that he's been able to just coach up. And think about Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And I get that Matt Stafford is an elite quarterback when healthy. But the L.A. Rams win total last year was 5.5. Nobody thought the L.A. Rams would live up to expectations. And Sean McVay took that team to a playoff appearance where they lost to Dan Campbell. So yes, Dan Campbell did knock him off, but which team really overexceeded expectations? You can make the argument that LA did in regards to going to the playoffs when they had a win total of 5.5 and a Super Bowl winning coach. On the flip side with LaFleur, everybody says, well, Campbell's 3-1 against LaFleur. Yeah, but the last time they played, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love wiped the floor with Detroit in their building on Thanksgiving. Let's not forget about that. So Robert Griffin came out and said, well, give me the reason why. Well, I said, it's simple. Okay, you have a coach in Matt LaFleur that took a first-year quarterback in terms of Jordan Love, rookie wide receivers in terms of Jaden Reed and second-year Christian Watson, and oh, by the way, Dontavian Wicks, a young team, okay, and he led them potentially down the road and down the second half of the season against wins over Detroit in Detroit, Kansas City and Pat Mahomes that won the Super Bowl by 8 points, a road win against top-seeded Dallas, and Dak Prescott as a 6.5-point dog where they won the ball game by 14-plus points and almost knocked off San Francisco in terms of back-to-back road wins. So if you're asking me, I think Matt LaFleur did more with Green Bay and Jordan Love last year that had a 7.5 win total than Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions that had potentially Jared Goff. They did have Jared Goff that went to a Super Bowl and a season win total last year of 9.5. Am I wrong, Matias, to make that argument that LaFleur potentially could be a better head coach?
No, I'm on board with you completely, Joe. You know, I think Dan Campbell's an excellent coach. Great coach, a leader of men, you know, the guy that you're going to run through a brick wall for. You know, I love that type of coach. Don't get me wrong. And I like how you started the whole thing by saying this isn't a knock on Dan Campbell. But, you know, will Dan Campbell become a better coach this year than he was last year? We're going to find out and see, Joe. And if he does, then he gets to go over those types of guys. Like, how many more coaches could you say that Dan, like, I'll name you five right now. Andy Reid, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. But you know what? Kyle Shanahan's kind of right up there with Dan Campbell for reckless decision-making. But I'll keep going, man. John Harbaugh for the Ravens. And here's somebody nobody talks about. Jim Harbaugh for the Chargers. I'll have Jim Harbaugh on top of Dan Campbell as well. You know? He's been to a Super Bowl.
How about
He's
Tomlin?
Won a national championship.
How about
Yeah,
Tomlin?
Man. I'll have, yeah, and Tomlin, you know, I like, don't get me wrong, Joe. Yeah. Mike Tomlin is a damn good coach.
Mike,
but the last couple
Mike
years.
Mike Tomlin, and I know, but who would you
And I say couple have? Years. I shouldn't say couple years. I should actually say like the last 6 years, Joe. Couple years have become 6 years now. Couple years is two or three years. We're now reaching a little over that,
I mean, we're
right?
talking about the longevity and the Super Bowl wins. I mean we're
damn good coach. Damn good coach. I'm not knocking on him. Damn good coach. But he's on the same level as Dan Campbell to me. You know, a leader of men,
no,
a guy you're going to want to run through a brick
Tomlin
wall.
Tomlin in the same level. Dan Campbell hasn't won a Super Bowl. Here's the thing, and I'll just say this in regards to the argument, and it more came with LaFleur than it did McVay. Okay, and the argument came with Aaron Rodgers, you know, having Aaron Rodgers and losing to the Detroit Lions two times, right, 2 years ago. And I understand that LaFleur did. And Aaron Rodgers potentially had one of his worst seasons 2 years ago where he cost his team a playoff performance when they lost the last regular season game to the Detroit Lions and he threw two interceptions. But I said this, potentially wasn't the fact that Aaron Rodgers did. Maybe handcuffed how Matt LaFleur coached and that Aaron Rodgers had more say in the offense and defensive schemes than potentially Matt LaFleur that was a head coach right there. We see what Aaron Rodgers is doing to the New York Jets. Maybe it wasn't on that level in Green Bay, but I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers had more of a majority say in how things were run offensively than potentially Matt LaFleur, no?
Yeah, Joe. No, I'm with you. I really am. I like LaFleur more than Campbell. I think LaFleur is also a damn good coach. You know, when you also think of Dan Campbell, you think of those just like you mentioned, the game against the Dallas Cowboys to possibly secure them the one seed if they win that game. But you know what? Nobody talks about the NFC Championship game, Joe. You know, nobody talks about that game. Remember when they had that big lead? Everything was going great. They were rolling in the first half, Joe. Rolling. And what happens at the end of the first half when they should go for the field goal, take the points, go up by two possessions, or excuse me, I think it would have actually been up by three possessions. possessions, you know, but they didn't do it. He goes for it on fourth down again. They miss it, and what happens after that? The San Francisco 49ers come back and steamroll them in the second half. You know, if you go up at halftime up by three possessions in a championship type of game, you're not, you know, it's a different type of mentality when you go back to the locker room. And it's the same mistake that he made against Dallas. You know, his reckless decision making. I think when you fix those types of issues, that's when you win Super Bowls, Joe. You know what I mean? That is how you win Super Bowls, when you make those types of decisions in three big games consecutively. You can't just have one big game. You got to do it three times in a row where you're making excellent decision making, no reckless decision making. You got to abandon your emotions and get more into the brain. And you have to, you know, you got to make big time decisions, like I said, Joe. And he's been making bad ones. You know what I mean? That's what separates the men from the boys, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And here's the other thing, too, now. You know, Detroit is expected with the third best price in regards to the NFC to, you know, be there right with San Francisco and the Eagles. They're actually tied with the Eagles for the second best price on FanDuel at plus 550, 49ers 3-1 to hoist the NFC championship. From the division perspective, we know that Detroit is the favorite and chalk in regards to the division right now at plus 130, Green Bay 2-1. If you're asking me right now, I like Green Bay at 2-1 to potentially, you know, win the NFC North. I believe their offense is more consistent. I believe right now Jordan Love and that team have an identity. He's developed with those young wide receivers, and again, they're hungry. They showed me something when they walked into Dallas last year as a 6.5-point underdog, did not fear Dak Prescott, did not fear anything, and they went about their business and put a whooping to the Dallas Cowboys. Offensively and defensively, and I thought Matt LaFleur had the perfect game plan to expose Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll come back with more NFL talk. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, I love it. We got bases loaded here in Miami. 7-1. We need to crack through. Can we get it? Can I get the Granny Smith? Ah! Yeah. Rockstar, baby. I love that movie. Great tune by Matias. Love it. Put me in a good mood. Like I mentioned, bases loaded here. Bottom seven. Marlins down 7-1. The Granny Smith would give me the over 11.5. The Granny Smith would do it. I don't know. I mean, could this guy get a little pop? Walker's as good as a hit, Sanchez. In play. What do we got here? Something good? Anything but a double, 108 mile an hour ground ball. Is that through the wickets? Is it through the wickets? It is! Base hit! Look at this, Matias! All right! What do we got
here? Are you on the game cast, Joe? Are you on the game cast?
Yeah, what happened? Why? What do I have here?
Nothing. Nothing. I'm not even watching it. I actually did.
It looks like, is it a double play? I don't even know. Did a run score? Of course not. That's terrible. This game cast is horrible. I don't know. Did the run score? They're showing 10.5. Bases loaded. I'm done. I'm done watching the game cast. I can't do it anymore. They said the run scores, and then they had a double play. Did the run score or didn't the run score? I don't know. You might as well just put a blindfold on and bet. It's amazing in terms of how these game cast has been. Ah, this guy's a hack. 7-2. 7-2 now. I don't even know. This is terrible. 1-0 Houston. That's good. 1-0 Houston. And then the Giants did have top eight runners on second and third, but the Nationals got out of it. So we'll keep you updated on that. I need over 11.5 in regards to the Astros. We left off talking about Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions, how now they're the favorite. I'll just leave you at this, Matias. They are now the hunted. There's no, you know, the expectation and the bar is set for Dan Campbell, okay? There is no turning back in regards to regression for the Detroit Lions. Every Detroit Lion fan thinks that they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and rightfully so. You have a team that went right to the cusp. Can you maintain that consistency? I guess only time will tell. I do not believe they're the best team in the conference. I do believe that's Green Bay, and we'll see how they knock it out. They're going to have two opportunities against each other. I do want to ask you this. Jim Harbaugh, because you're out there on the left coast, do you feel he did the right thing? Because I was asked this last week, okay, on a number of shows, and I said that I believe Jim Harbaugh did the right thing by cutting all the fat, getting rid of Eckler, getting rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and rebuilding from the ground up with Justin Herbert, and better to go through some growing pains in year one than to just patch it together, hope for a Super Bowl run like Brian Daboll did with New York, and more importantly, with Sean Payton did with Denver, because that is a recipe for disaster if you fail, especially in year number one.
No, I think the Chargers actually did a good job by pressing the reset button, Joe. You know, I think that time has come and go. They became stale. I think all those players that left needed something fresh, and they re-energized their career. You know, Eckler will be re-energized in Washington, correct? And then Keenan Allen, I think, will be extra recharged in Chicago. And both of those guys, are going to have great seasons. And as far as the Chargers go, it's exciting. You know what I mean? They have young guys. Now they're going to get more playing time. You know, the emergence of Joshua Palmer, a wide receiver who's always played second fiddle, you know, for Keenan Allen. And whenever Keenan Allen gets hurt, which is a lot usually, but he's a damn good player, Josh Palmer steps up. And then Mike Williams, you know, so much for Mike Williams. You know, I feel like he's injured every other game. Great receiver, but he's always injured. So we're going to see other guys step up. You know, I always think of the receiver out of TCU. His name just completely left my mind. Quentin Johnson, exactly. Had a rough year last year. Everybody thinks he's going to suck this year, you know, completely. It's, he had a terrible year last year. Well, let's actually see him play now with that type of identity behind his back. Yeah. A guy, you know, you're not going to be behind, you know, Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. Right. Now it's your time to shine. I think his confidence is going to be out the roof, and he's going to make some big plays.
Well, I'll say this. Harbaugh was very high on Quentin Johnson in regards to a big body wide receiver. Did show glimpses in regards to some performances last year. And Josh Palmer, the reason why Josh Palmer was taken by the Chargers was because he was a star at Tennessee, struggled in terms of the consistency with the quarterback play with Garantano and obviously Joe Milton that was there in regards to Knoxville, but had a fantastic Senior Bowl. He's a little bit smaller in regards to not as tall as Keenan Allen or even Mike Williams, but he's a big body in terms of weight room guy, a little bit thicker in terms of body frame, and does all the dirty work in terms of going over the middle. So potentially with Quentin Johnston and maybe Josh Palmer, maybe they can, you know, at least get you 85% of the productivity that both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams gave you, right? I mean, if they play 17 games or 15 each, at least that's a great start to potentially having both of those young players on your roster for the next three or four seasons. I will say this in regards to LA. I don't feel that they're the second best team in the AFC West. I believe that is the Las Vegas Raiders. They have a 6.5 win total. But the reason why it's important is because if you fail in year one with that talent, you then have to start all over again and rip it down, a recipe for disaster. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one, coming right back on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Little Kansas to close out hour one. Look at this. Now, this is a college football song. Carry on, my wayward son. Are you kidding me? Pop that in right around 11 a.m. Eastern time before 12 noon kickoff. Get me amped up with a little AC/DC. We're going to have the college football tunes going for college football Friday nights with Carver. I'll tell you that right now, because I love it. When we do the picks on Friday night, we're going to start that, I believe, not this Friday. We're going to have in two Fridays. So three Fridays right now from today, Monday. Three Fridays, we'll have the Carver and Lisi college football selections. August 24th, that weekend, we're going to be into it. I cannot wait. Florida State and G-Tech, 12.5. Look at this. Now, that's the Rudy. I don't want that this year. I don't want the Rudy. You can play that when Carver gives his picks. When I give mine, no. I'm going to give you a playlist. I don't want it. Not happening. That's the Notre Dame theme song. No way. Not happening. Woo! This year. Nah.
You don't feel
it right
now?
We got to do something else. Well, you're playing favorites, Matias. I refuse to have it. I refuse. Okay. Like I was saying, Florida State and G-Tech, 12.5 point number right now for the Seminoles, and you're killing it.
Let's go, Joe.
You're killing it.
Let's get ready for some football, baby. Yes! Hit somebody! We're going to hit somebody today, Joe.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Ooh, can I get three runs here in Miami? Could they break out? Can you give me a Granny Smith? I need three runs here. Come on. Well, let me just say this about Lincoln Riley in USC. You know, he said, what do you want? He's not a magician. You're getting paid like one, Lincoln. Okay, you're getting paid like David Copperfield and David Blaine back in the day when they were headlining in Vegas. Are you kidding me? You're getting $14-15 million a year. You're hanging out with Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg and carrying the torch in the Coliseum. Nobody wants to see 7-5 overall and your ass out on the outside looking in for the college football playoff. Can Miller Moss step up? 372 yards, 6 tutties in the bowl win over Louisville.
I'm still eating fat because of that USC winning that bowl game, Joe. You know they're doing great this year. Let's go.
They were. Now, Carver and I were on USC in that game. We just thought it was a little odd that USC in that game, and we knew that Louisville was on paper the better team and Caleb wasn't playing. But in terms of the coaching perspective, the athletes, USC versus Louisville, that was definitely a mismatch in the making in regards to that bowl game, and you're going to have great, great battles throughout the first couple of weeks of the college football season. I'm going to jump into it potentially in regards to second hour, some teams I'm looking at, some games early on, and you could book some numbers. I went today as well, as you know, big down day in regards to the stock market. That's okay. I equated it actually to college football. I threw out some names and some stocks, and I threw out some correlations in regards to some teams. You got to stir up some fan bases. We're 19 days away from the kickoff of the college football season. This is what it's all about, baby. There is no tomorrow. Once we kick off, we're full throttle ahead. We have a 12-team playoff. We have four power conference conferences that are going to get automatic bids, and independent in terms of right now Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman that really could potentially write their ticket. Yes, write their ticket. I know Carver's going to get mad at me because I'm basically saying that Notre Dame should be at least a 10 or 11 win football team this year. But I'm just going to tell you this. Don't take it from me. Take it from the schedule, okay? Army, Navy, Miami of Ohio, and Northern Illinois. That's four teams right there. Four wins right under your belt if you're Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. Now, you still have to play, obviously, Florida State. You still have to play USC. I get that. And you still, by the way, have to play Mike Elko and his former quarterback, Riley Leonard, and Texas A&M. So we'll see how that plays out throughout the regular season. We'll come back. Hour one down, we're coming back with hour number two of Carver and Lisi, baby!